Bibles, and I believe you do. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, and we're going to read actually the 28th, 29th, and 30th verse. Okay? I'm going to read all three of those verses. Amen? And if you have your Bibles, you can stand. We'll read together. Praise God. Pray that this word will bring deliverance, healing, comfort, peace, joy, everything that's incorporated, it will bring forth today to give you today. Say this, I believe,
I receive,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read together. Ready, begin. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Ah, Lord, that's good. You may be seated in the house. Father, we want to thank you, we honor you, we glorify you, we magnify you, we praise you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for everything that you're doing in each of us. You know us individually. In your unique way, you have made us uniquely in your image, marvelously made by your hands. So, Father, I pray what your people need today, that you will open up the eyes of their understanding, and you will pour in everything that's necessary for revelation knowledge to flow freely, uninterrupted by any demonic force. And Father, we thank you that your word will go forth mightily and it will not return void, but where it is sent, it shall prosper, it shall succeed, it shall have good success. We thank you, Father. Only in the mighty victor's name, we know it is done, and we receive it, and we give you glory for it, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, hallelujah. Jesus is talking to the disciples and many others around him, and he's focusing on your deliverance, and he's focusing on what he has to give you. And he's focusing on you to stay focused on him. You know, that's been my theme this year, almost like stay focused on Jesus. Whatever you're going through, when you know you've gotten away from looking to him, stay focused. Get your focus back on him. Get your focus back on him. I know there's stuff out here to pull you away, but get your focus. I know I need to get back. Yes, Lord, I need to talk to you about this. The word of God says, be still and know I am God. Jesus gives these words and he tells the disciples to come. To come. And that word come signifies one to bring interest to himself. Come. Come unto me all. You know, he didn't say come unto me some, or come unto me just a few folks. But he said, come unto me all who labor and are heavy laden. All who are laboring in this world in your own strength that he's talking about. He's not telling you not to labor, but he's talking to those who have labored so much and trying to get everything completed in their own ability and own strength, and they haven't looked to him. Who are heavy laden or burdened with an overload. Sometimes you guys get an overload. And when you get an overload, you get stressed out. When you get an overload, you just weighed down. When you get an overload, your countenance even doesn't look good. You don't have a smile on your face. You're unhappy. You're snappy, huh? I know y'all never get snappy. never be unhappy. Come on, let's be real about it. Because we got so many stressors in the world. All the things that are going on, even as David was, when he was praying, I was listening to him, and I said, he's in my little Kool-Aid again. And about all the stuff that's happening on the news, all the protesting that we see across the land, and all the different things that even Mama Mel shared, you know, about the rapes and the homicides and those things that occur. You know, and I'm going into the jail every week, and I'm ministering to guys, and I'm seeing, you know, majority African Americans, and I'm seeing their children don't have a father, and many of them have kids. And then we wonder why the kids are disruptive in school, or the kids are not, you know, there's slow attendance span, and they're not able to excel in it because we don't have anyone encouraging them, enforcing because we got so much stress. You know, parents bring the stress to the schools, and you know, stress to the counselors, and stress to the teachers, and you know, and then you got to try to teach the class, and then you got one that's disruptive, and so you got all this going on. This is the life or world that we are involved with. You have it on your job, you know. You got competition. You got the brown nosers. They're downing you to make themselves look good. You got all these things that are going on. These are stressors. Stressors exist, but that don't mean they have to overtake you. That's why you have to come unto him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, I will give you rest. And that rest doesn't mean to be inactive or lazy. Oh, well, I just don't feel like doing nothing right now. I just feel like resting. That's not what he's referring to. If you read the rest of that scripture, we see that the root cause of rest and what he's referring to is to enter into a mindset of dealing with your soul. Your soul is your will and your emotions and your mind. That's your soul. And your soul needs to be resting in Jesus. My rest is in Jesus. What is that? What are you saying? You just go to sleep on your shoulders like John did on his breast? That's partially right, but that's not all that I want to focus on about the rest. The rest is that I'm having confidence in what Jesus had done on the cross on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. He nailed everything, every sin that my life could ever commit. He nailed it on the cross. I'm seeing that. See, I'm seeing that. I'm envisioning that. I'm believing that. My confidence is in that. That's when I'm resting. If my confidence is not there, I am not resting. You can't be resting if your confidence is not in the finished work and what Jesus did for you over 2,000 years ago. I'm resting in confidence that he took my sicknesses, he took my sins, he took my sorrows, he took my pain, he took everything. Why? Because I know what his word says. And I go to that word and I rest in that. In other words, I have confidence in that. I have trust in the finished work. That's where my labor comes. My labor is trusting that. My labor is keeping my faith there and not looking to all the things that could cause me to worry. Because worrying is a sin. And worrying, come on, I know we all have worried, but that don't mean you have to live there. Don't take up residence and you know, and go to a hotel called Worry Poop. You don't need that. You need to be resting in his presence. See, wherever you go, he goes. And if he goes with you, you rest in him. You have confidence and trust. Rely totally on him as your source. Every day, when you're dealing with whatever kind of matter you're dealing with, trust him. When you're working, trust him. And a lot of times when you're working, you're not trusting God You're trusting either the man who's giving you the paycheck, or you're trusting yourself and your own ability and what you can do. But where's God in the picture? I said, where's God in the picture? He has to be in the picture 24/7. And that's for all of us. Even when I'm in as a pastor role, I have to see Jesus and not me trying to get it done. I have to rest in the finished work of what he's already done. I have to see that it's already done. You got to see that in your life, in your marriage. It's already done. It's blessed. My faith is blessed. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Take that yoke upon you. When you see a yoke on an oxen, there's two of them together, you know, what it does, it helps equalize the weight that they have to pull. And it also takes away the stress and the energy level if one had to do it by themselves. See, that's why you have to yoke up with Jesus. So I'm seeing that if I'm yoking up with Jesus, I am allowing his presence to help me. I'm allowing his presence. He's here. Sometimes you don't feel like he's here. Don't forget about how you feel about it. He's here. I'm allowing his presence to help me. Whatever you're dealing with or I'm dealing with, I'm allowing his presence to help me. I recognize his presence. See? I don't just think he's this there. I recognize it. I talk to him about what I'm going through. I give him the task that what I'm dealing with right now. And I'm expecting him to be with me because he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So don't play with Jesus because you're playing with yourself. Come on, he's looking for you to pull on to him. He's there and he said, well, you know what? I'm yoking up with them, but they don't want to yoke with me. I'm trying to give them super on their natural, but they think their natural can take care of it. I want you to operate in my supernatural, and you want this to stay in the conformity of the natural. Let that super be on your natural. Let Superman come out of you. On your job, you put limitation on what you come up with. You forgot the super. Things ain't going right. You know, they done changed the policy. And you done forgot the super. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And then he says, how do you take that? Learn of me. Learn of me. That means they got to spend time knowing how do Jesus deal with things. How did he deal with things? See, that's how you and I got to deal with things, how Jesus dealt with things. A lot of times we deal with things how we think. Come on, don't play with me. We got to look to Jesus. Jesus, so I'm yoking up with him, and I'm saying, Jesus, how do I handle this? That wasn't hard, was it? But he may not give you the answer like you want. That's the hard part, But it's nothing too hard for God. But he's yoking up with you, and he said, "Look, go in there, and he said, look, if I have not worked up to your standard, forgive me. I'm planning on doing a better job." Your pride said, "Yeah, right. I'm going in there, all right." Yeah, but that's what the Lord told you. You know the devil ain't tell you to forgive. So you got to obey. And then it'll cause the manager to have a change of heart that you knew was hard. But see, I've seen it. I've been there. And I've seen the heart of this manager change towards me who was against me. Don't tell me it doesn't work. I've seen it work. So I had to learn his ways. And I had to change my way. Had to change my way. There's a way, Proverbs 14, was it 14, 18? Proverbs 14, 18, it says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. I want my life to be life, not death. So there are things that you got to learn so that you can operate in the rest. Because if you don't learn it, then you won't enter into the rest. You won't enter into having true personal confidence, trusting and relying in God. He goes on, this he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus said, I am meek, lowly in heart. The word meek means, and the Amplifier says, I am gentle. I am gentle. And then the word lowly is, in the Amplifier, it says, I am humble. I am gentle and humble in heart. Sometimes your heart ain't too gentle and humble, is it? Huh? But if you've learned of him, you're supposed to be had the characteristics of him. Because he's given you his character. All of us who are believers have Christ's character. And that's why the word tells us to think on. You've heard me quote this verse probably 1,000 times. But it doesn't change. It's the same word. Think on things that are pure. Think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are just. Think on things that are of a good report. Think on these things that are being in virtue, being in praise. Think. Focus on those things. Keep your mind on those things. That's what you have to labor towards. To rest. Because if you're not thinking on those things, you're thinking on something else to distract you from resting. And it only, now look, let's be real about this. It's only going to mess you up. It affects your body. It affects your mental capacity and how you think. You don't tell me it doesn't. I know it does. You know it does too. And you don't need to go down that road. So it's a wake-up call. Rest. Tell your neighbor, it's a wake-up call. You need to labor to enter into Christ's rest. See, sometimes you think you got it because you heard it, you heard that message spoken about one time. That means you think that you heard it one time, that you exhausted everything out of that. Can you really exhaust everything out of love? My question is, if you think you can, that means you have arrived in the love walk. And we all are growing in the love walk. Because you know, there are people that come to you that they're not lovable. And you say, I know you just want to hug them and kiss them. And they don't call you every name in the book. So there's a choice that's being made there. And the choice is being made by how much you have on the inside of you to produce the godly character, or how much you have inside of you to produce the demon character. Arr. Huh? He goes on and he says, I will give you rest. How? You will find rest unto your soul. To your soul. Your mind, will, and your emotions. To your soul. So that means my mind has to be renewed. Constantly renewed. See, sometimes we say, I know that scripture in Romans 12 chapter, 2nd verse. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah, do you really know it? Do you really, really know it? I need two men. I like illustrations. Two men Two men? Got one walking. Okay, I want to. Come on, you boys say, I'm a man. Huh? Huh? Two men. One here. One stand right here. One stand right there. Okay. All right. All right. Two men. They look distinguished looking, don't they? And by looking at them, you can see they're men, right? But I'm gonna break them down. This is what the Lord showed me. I'm going to break them down in how we look at the world and how we look at the word, or how we look at God's system of operation and the world system of operation. I'm going to choose this gentleman here to be the world system. Huh? He's a worldly character. Huh? And you know, he probably could play this character pretty good. This here, he's about the kingdom. He's kingdom character. He's word conscious. He's world conscious. He's life conscious. And he is sin conscious, death conscious. Huh? Now, growing up, I was around this guy a lot. Most of you were too, just didn't know it. Huh? Huh? He was always whispering stuff in your ear and telling you negative stuff and telling you what you can't do and what, you know, telling you negative things about your family. And it was always talking about the curses and everything that's damning and everything that's judgmental. And then this one over here, you was just getting a little dab of do you on Sunday. He was just giving you a little word of encouragement, a word of deliverance, a word of hope, a word of trust. And he was giving you some things that will bless your destiny. Scripture says again, remind you out of Romans, the 12th chapter, be not conformed to this world. Be not similar, adaptable, fashioned by this world system, this world way of thinking. It's here. Don't think it's not here. It's here. The system is still here. Paul talked about it, but that system is still in operation today. That's why he says you got to renew your mind. Your mind got to be refreshed with the word. Don't take it lightly that This is not a battle that you and I have to deal with all the time. Because we're in the battle zone. But we got to have that mind renewed. And we got to have it refreshed so that we can rest. Now, to the point there when I grew up and I got in the word more, my confidence got more in the word. Because I spent time there. And less confidence was in the world because I was spending less time there. Because sometimes you think you're good. You think, hey, man, I can handle it. I can handle it. I'm bad. I can handle this. You know, I can handle this crowd. I can handle this group. You know, I can handle this peer pressure. You know, because I'm the bum. Big daddy in the house. Or big mama. Who is? Well, you know. So you're thinking what you can do. Now, then it comes a time where you're trying to decide, who am I going to have my confidence in? Who am I going to have my trust in? Who am I going to rely on? Because sometimes we rely on that system. Don't tell me you don't, because I know we're living in that day and age where, you know, we got people that are dependent upon social service to provide for them. And what if it cut it off? What if this system is cut off? What are you going to do then? And don't think it's not possible that it could be cut off. And so your mind was so transformed by the system, you stayed there. So when you heard the word of God, you're, I don't know about this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Because why? You had no time spent there. There comes a time where I was wrestling with this, coming out of the world and going into the kingdom. Now, I remember we did this thing where we used to do exercise and team building when I was at AT&T. And one of the things that we used to do that, you know, to trust our teammate, we would see whether or not they would be able to catch us. Remember that, Kathy? We would see whether or not they'd be able to catch us. Now, this is my teammate here because I'm kind of straddling the fence. I don't know which way I want to go. So I'm going to rely on him to catch me if things don't look like it's going to work for me. And I'm going to hope that he catch me. Huh? It don't look like he a good catcher to me because, you know, if I'm looking at circumstances or how it looks, I don't think that he can really do it. So, you know, but if I don't know, you know. It's kind of slow, you know. I want to be caught. So I'm going back over here, but I'm spending more time here than I used to be with, you know. You know, he told me he was coming, but he didn't show up. That never happened to y'all, but I know, talking about me, you know. Made an appointment with him, and he said, I'm going to be there, 9 o'clock sharp. Well, it was 12 noon. I still hadn't seen him. Huh? So do you think my confidence is there that, huh? My confidence really ain't there. I'm hoping. So I'm giving him another chance. You know how we do, we give him another chance. You know, okay, you bite me once, you bite me twice, you bite me three times, that's out. Huh? I don't know if y'all make those little things up. But then I come over here, I spend time with him, the master. I'm trusting in him. My confidence, I'm relying on him. So Do I blink? Huh? Wait a minute. Jesus got me, but he was on time, but I didn't feel like he was on time. We all been there. Jesus didn't come on your time. Jesus, I done prayed now. I done been on my knees. I done looked up to you. I was up. How long this thing gonna take, you know, because I want to know if you're gonna be there or not. Huh? So, you know, and see that, and Jesus, he was there all the time, but you wasn't really sure whether he was going to rescue you. You wasn't really sure that he was going to be there to protect you. You wasn't really sure that he was going to really provide for you because, hey, it don't look good in the bank account. Bills are still coming in. I don't have a job. How I'm gonna pay this bill? Huh? Can you help me? You want to go back to the world. Can you help me? Help me, world. Huh? So the world got a game plan. You know, I may have to sell my soul to them. You may want to put me out on the street to make some money. And he can tell you, and see, the world will tell you, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. You know, I'm going to take care of you. You know, I'm gonna make sure you know, everything go good for you. And the world will tell you that. But now, and the world will tell you, I'm gonna make sure you have peace. But you know, this peace is corrupt. He's got peace today and corruption that evening. But over here, Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." You and I have that peace. It's been given to us. So resting is also making a choice that you in his peace, that you can trust him. You can have peace when you're making a decision when you don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do and you don't know how to handle it, you need to make sure that you go into prayer and that you hear from God and that you have peace. Before you make a move. See, sometimes you done made a move. You know you ain't had no peace. You just made a move. You just did it because you thought that was the right way to go. World said, I got your back. My Lord. Huh? The Lord just told me that. How many people have told you they had your back? Huh? My Lord, I don't have so many people tell me that. Huh? And the Lord said, I got your back. That's what the Lord said. I got your back. That's who you got to trust. See, rest in Jesus. Make sure your rest is in him. Not in the world who tell you one thing and do another. And we all got to deal with that in life. But the way I stay in rest, I stay hooked up with him in faith in the word. Because if I'm not, see, now you can't say you with Jesus if you're outside of the word. That's what some Christians like to play, that game. They say they love Jesus, but they don't want to spend time in the word. If no time in the word, you have no time with Jesus. Let's give them a two hands of applause. Come on, y'all can do better than that because they were really good. But stay away from the world. Go with Jesus. I wanted to take you somewhere to confirm that scripture about the word. Jesus is the word. Go with me to John's gospel. John's gospel, the first chapter. John's gospel, the first chapter. Have this as a confirmation on the inside. Because it's to confirm your relationship when you come unto him. He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, I'll give you rest. And we all have been heavy laden. We all have been weary. We all have been restless instead of restful. John's gospel, the first chapter. You there? And the scripture says this. In the beginning was the word. Now, in the Amplified, if you have the Amplified in parentheses after the word, if you got your parallel Bible, it has Jesus, right? Or Christ. Okay? So in the beginning was the word or was Christ. So the word and Jesus are synonymous. Okay? Now, how do you get that, Pastor Rock? Well, we'll just read on. And they said, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So Jesus was in the beginning with God, the Father. Now, quickly go down to the 14th verse. The scripture says this, and the word, still talking about the word, is capitalized in your Bible or in your phone or whatever you're using. The word was made flesh. Said flesh. Now, how was it made flesh here? How was the word made flesh? It was made flesh through a body, and that body was Jesus. It was made flesh, the scripture says, and dwelt among us. Well, in other words, he lived among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. He was full of grace and truth. So that word became flesh. He came out of, the word came out of a virgin woman called Mary. The word, Jesus. It was spoken, it was prophesied. Some of you got to get this. It was prophesied by prophets all the way back to Genesis about the coming of the Son. The Son even knew he had to come. He was in the spirit realm at that time. Even you did not exist just when you were conceived by your mother, or when your father and your mother, you know, had conception. No, you were in existence in the bosom of God. In when he was here. That's hard for you to believe, but it shouldn't be. Because we got the idea of the natural way of thinking, and we've forgotten the spiritual way. See, God already knew that you was going to be born by your mother and your father before you knew it. He said in Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. So you mean to tell me he just knew Jeremiah and he didn't know the rest of us? God, don't, come on, please. We're talking about God. We're not talking about you or me. He knew you. You may not have known you, but he knew you. But he was telling you everything that you would be and yet you, what you would become, what you were called and assigned to. But when you stepped out of your mother's womb and entered into this world, there were a lot of distractions. All to get you away from his will, your assignment, your calling, your plans and pursuits that he wanted you to accomplish. And he had put that on the inside of you. Everything that was necessary for your life to be complete. You didn't complete yourself because you went to school. Because you got some education. No, we're talking about super on your natural. God completed you when he came into you. And he refreshed you so that you could rest in him and have confidence and trust in him. The word became flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld it. We saw it. If you are to enter into his rest, you got to see and believe what he has already completed. It's done. You got to see and believe. Say see and believe. You got, in other words, you got to envision it. You got to know it is there. You got to know it's already been provided. You got to see yourself having it. You got to see yourself wearing it. You got to see yourself having ownership of it. Joshua 1:8 tells us that. Meditate on the word. Let not this word depart from thy mouth, but meditate on this word day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein, and then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. But you've got to spend time envisioning it, observing it, imagining it. Everything that you have heard, you have seen in pictures. Words have pictures. Words have images. And if you don't like the picture you see, change the words so you can frame your world. You frame your world by the word of God. Not by CNN and Fox and the news. Come on. You still fasting? See how fast I can cut that TV on, Pastor Teller. Because some things you need to detox from so you can de-stress from. When Rachel and I, we went out to the park, I went out Friday, and then Saturday we went out to the park to jog. And instead of jogging, you know, I said, I'm going to walk. So I'm walking, but as I'm walking, I'm not just walking, I'm talking. I'm not just talking, I'm fellowshipping. I'm talking to the Lord. I don't care if you think I'm crazy, I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to Jesus. I don't care if you walk by me and say, Lord, look at that man talking to himself. I don't care. Huh? Because I've cast all that care, huh, to him. Sometimes I have to tell people I'm out there speaking in tongues, I'm praying in the spirit, and it may be a little too loud, you know, and people looking at me like this when they walk by me. You know, so I'm cool. Sometimes I have to tell him, I'm praying. I'm on you praying. So, but while I was walking and talking with the Lord, because I'm walking so you can see on the ground, right? And sometimes we're so much in a fast pace, we're moving so fast, because stress will make you run. Stress in the world, it'll make you run. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. You know, I'm behind on this. What I'm going to do? I don't know. I'm sweating, you know. Oh, my blood pressure, hypertension. Ooh, I'm sweating out here. And I haven't even ran. I haven't even walked. I haven't done anything. That's all internal. But as I'm walking, I'm looking on the asphalt, because I'm walking on the asphalt on the road. And as I'm looking, everybody, every 3 feet, I'm seeing these bloodworms. And I'm trying to avoid them because I'm seeing it. I don't want to step on them. I don't know why. I just don't want to step on them. And I just don't want to get them all over my shoes either, because I got to come home and I don't want blood all over the floor, you know. But here's the thing. God has provided for these birds and the fowls everything. And they're not sweating. They're not frustrated. How are they going to get something to eat? If anything, they got an overload of food. And they're not even worried about where I'm going to store all this. Just think about it. The Bible tells us, take no thought what you should eat, what you should drink, or what you should put on. It said, take no thought, and then you take the thought when it says saying. Saying. So you take, that's how you take the thought. You say something. I always know where you are. You do too. You know where people are by what? What comes out of their mouth. Whatever comes out of your mouth, that's where you are. If you don't like what's coming out of your mouth, maybe you need to zip it. Because sometimes I want to say some things, and I needed to zip it. Well, I was at the jail this week, and we was telling us, we had told the guys, you know, because the guys at jail, they like to curse. I know y'all don't do none of that, huh? Y'all, why y'all do like that when I said y'all don't do like that? So the guys in the jail, they're around guys curse. So one of the things we started, you know, changing your vocabulary. Hey guys, man, y'all need to watch your mouth, you know. Watch what you say. What's spoken, because words have power. Bible says death and life is in the power of your tongue, and they that love it should eat the fruit thereof. They heard that, but they still go back cursing. Right? You can hear a word, but you're still going to do what you want to do. That's why you got to keep your mind renewed. Amen. And so I was after the minister had ministered, I had ministered before that, and you know, and he said, well, I want you to go on a 21-day fast, no curse words. And I'm listening, and I'm saying, okay, go on, no curse words. And so he kind of ended it like that. Okay, just make sure you don't say any curse words out of your mouth. And I said, that's not going to work. That's what I said to myself, you know. I didn't tell the minister that, but I said, that's not. I said, now I heard what the pastor said, you know, about you going on a fast for 21 days. I said, but you need to take it a step further, because if you're going to stop something, you got to replace it with something else. You know, you know, if you're going to stop smoking, you got to replace it with something else. Okay? And so I said, what you need to replace it with is the word. You got to replace it with the word, because the word is a remedy to answering your request before God. The word is a recipe or an answer for you that you need to follow for instructions in life, so you can have victory over what you're dealing with. And so you need to tell yourself who you are. When you're tempted to, you know, look at this woman officer, because I mean, you got like 70 some guys now. I'm making it real, guys. I'm talking Thursday morning jail talk to the boys. So when they're looking at these these officers, when they come in, their mindset is not thinking, you know, she's just a nice officer. Okay? You got to understand, these guys been in jail for some time. And guys talk. Women talk too, so don't play me. Okay? I've been around women that talk, and I've been around men that talk. Okay? That's why we got to have our minds. And here's the thing. If you're around more that talk, gossip, and talk, you know, slut talk, you know, garbage talk, and you think that you're going to overcome it just by, you know, you being cool, calm, and collective, you won't do it that way. You got to have word constantly on the inside of you. How did I overcome some issues in my life was that I had to get in that word. That was before I was a pastor, to renew my mind so I could overcome some things that I was unable to overcome because I was hanging around the world. And I was just, you know, dipping and dabbing with God. And that's what a lot of Christians do. And a lot of Christians think that they can overcome some things in their lives, and they won't be able to do it. It's because they're in an environment that's stronger than they are. Only thing that's going to keep you strong in an environment that may be adverse, you got to be yoked up. And I'm talking about yoked. When people see you, they see you. They see who? They see Jesus on you. When people see you, when people saw me on my job, I wasn't even a pastor then, they would come to me for prayer. Didn't they, Kathy? I got a witness here. I got to have a witness, you know, every now and then, because I'm off of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. Here's another one over here. My wife here, she knew some people used to come by your house. It was her house, you know. I just paid for it, you know. But it was people on the job that would come, and, you know, she would, you know, let them know, you know, what kind of man I was, and they would tell her. So I would have Bible studies. Again, I wasn't no pastor, you know. I was just honoring God. See, some of y'all should have some Bible studies on your job. I done mess with you a little bit on that one. I know that. Huh? You got enough word in you now. See, wherever you are is a ministry. Wherever you are is a ministry. Some of you should have some prayer with your staff. Do that. Pray with them in the morning. Now, I'm not suggesting that you pray with a male and a female. Okay? Make it a group thing. Y'all listening to what I'm saying? I got to rightly divide this thing, you know? Because sometimes a person can be vulnerable. I got a problem with my husband, and the preacher praying for the woman who got problems with her husband, and then something else happened. That has happened. I've seen that happen. And I had to do some counseling for people in that situation, you know? And we know all marriages have issues. Some people think they're in la la land on the outside, don't know. But that don't mean it can't be resolved. That don't mean it can't be resolved. Okay? I mean, I've heard some stuff worse than worse. You know? Y'all don't want to hear the stories out here from the guys. This is too far. I can't tell this. But the thing is, the reason why they were outside of that is because they was not in rest. And it takes two to tangle. Sometimes we blame it on the other one, but it's two parties. It's not just one. The question is, what did you do that was God-like when the other person was world-like? Mama Mel and I, we ain't always been, smiley facey all the time. Huh? Can you smile? Huh? Mama Mel and I, you know, but we, but But the thing is, we had to go to the Word in order to resolve our differences. The Word can heal differences. See, a lot of times, you know, I've had a lot of married couples come in my office, and I'm telling you, I don't know where they be at. They were wasting my time. Because they had already decided what they wanted to do before they even came to me. I could have been doing something. I could have been taking my wife out somewhere. We having a good time. See, if you want counseling, you should be open to receive the Word. And if you can't submit and honor the Word, then you really won't submit and honor nobody. Ooh, that's strong. That's strong. Because think about it. It's only going to be a temporary fix that you submit yourself to another person. Because one day that person going to get under your skin. Because that person ain't going to do what you want them to do. That's going to be a stressor. So how do you handle that? How do you bring healing to that? You got to go to God's Word. So one of the things I said, well, go to the Word, guys. Meditate on the Word. Believe what the Word says. See it in operation. See God speaking through your mouth. Do you see God speaking through your mouth? I had a girlfriend once. Man, she had a mouth. She had a mouth. Juicy mouth. And I would always try to, okay, can you cool it down a little bit? Can you shut it down a little bit? And it's just like putting fuel on fire, you know. It was like more kindling added to this thing. But I found out later that it was the environment. And I already knew that because I came out of that environment. But I also found out that was the test for me. Just because you go through the test and you don't like what you're going through, believe God that he's gonna be with you through the test. Go with me to the Psalms, book of Psalms. I had to remind myself of this Psalms. Psalms 23. That's a psalm of rest. The scripture says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will dwell in his presence forever. His presence forever. His presence forever. Wherever you go, he's with you. He's with you when you got stuff coming out your mouth. Ain't right. He's with you when you know you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. You with the wrong person at the wrong time. He's still with you. Don't think he's not with you. You thought he would. Because people don't see you, that don't mean God doesn't see you. God sees all things. Now, let me tell you what the Amplified says this way. I love the Amplified. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. He feeds, guides, and shields me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the path of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect me, your staff to guide me. See, your rod is the word of God. Your staff is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides you. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So there are going to be enemies around you, but he's prepared a table for you. He said, even when the enemies are around you, and he's anointed your head for the task. You may think you can't handle it. You are anointed for the job. I don't care what the task is. I don't care how bad it may look. You are anointed. Your head is anointed, he says. He says, with a brimming cup, it runs over. Surely, only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and through the length of my days, the house of the Lord, and his presence shall be my dwelling place. Stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus. Don't get your eyes off of him. 2017, stay focused on him. Stay focused that you already got the answer. You don't have to try to work to get healed. You hear me? Let me say that again. You don't have to try to work to get healed because he's already completed the finished work. You rest in that. How do I do that? I go to his word. My faith is in his word. My confidence is in his word. I trust his word. You don't have to try to work, to sweat, to work 80 hours to be a millionaire. You need to work your labor to enter into his rest. Confidence that he will supply all of your needs. I go to Philippians 4:19. God, you said you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said he will build houses for you that you didn't even have to build. He'll give you land that you didn't even have to purchase. He'll provide, because he said he's already provided these things. What are you trusting in totally? He'll give you witty ideas and great inventions. How many of y'all ever look at Shark Tank? I like to look at Shark Tank. Shark Tank, I like one of them, because they always like to come out there with these inventions and they're looking for investments. And then the shockers, they're looking for, well, who, you know, how much I'm going to really truly invest. I ain't putting all this out, you know. And they making deals, so they, you know, they're in the Shark Tank, you know. And some of them come out with some good deals, and some of them come out there, they look like Shark got them. That's why you gotta have wisdom before you go into the Shark Tank. Because the sharks out there, they all out there. What are you going to do when they come snapping at you? Because they want a piece of you. You got to have some word on the inside of you. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm going back to the word. Are you going to sweat? Are you going to become frustrated? Are you going to stay up all night worrying? I don't know what I'm going to do, because you're trusting more in what has come against you than you are who's for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? What are you trusting in? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, we hear that scripture, but do we really believe that? See, I got to see and believe it. How do I see and believe it, Pastor? I got to look to it. Well, I looked to it. I heard that before. I looked to it. No, I got to keep my mind on it. He said, whose mind is stayed on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace, because you trust in him. See, if you really trust in someone, you can depend on him. I trust my wife. I can depend on my wife. If my wife says she's going to meet me at a certain time, we're going to meet at a certain time. I can't say that about everybody now. Because I know she a stickler on time. Y'all know she don't play here with time. You can come here late if you want, or she's going to start, and you can just, she ain't waiting on you. Y'all know that's her. That's her personality. I'm good with that. If she don't show up, I know something wrong. Something ain't right. Something done happened. Something, you know. And you should know Jesus like that. Better, really. You should have intimacy with the Lord so much that you know he's there for you. He got your back. That's one person you can hold on to forever. Bible even said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. My word will stand forever. God's word, he put his word above himself. That's powerful. The Bible said he watches over his word to perform it. He wants his word to come into manifestation. And the reason why you have doubt and unbelief in your heart when it comes to the word, because you haven't spent time with the word. How can you have confidence in something that you don't spend time with? The reason why I have confidence in this woman, because I spent time with her. I can't have confidence in the word if I don't spend time. Spend time with Jesus. You spend time with the word. And here's the thing. I know it's hard for some of you because you say, well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. I wasn't a preacher. I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. But I guarantee you, if you begin to read the word every day, you're going to see yourself grow stronger every day. You're going to see your confidence build up stronger every day. In the bed at night, I'll be quoting scriptures that I've meditated before I even went to bed. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm quoting a scripture. Just meditate on a word. You know, he give his beloved rest, sweet rest. But, you know, other words, if you can't sleep, you got to have some word to speak, sleep. Because it's there. But if you ain't speaking it, it's because you haven't spent time with the word. You spend time with the word, that's going to be the first thing that's going to come out of your mouth. When things come against you, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Most people, what do they do? They worry. And what do? They call all people to help them out. When you should be calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. You. When are you going to grow up and call on Jesus? You talking about you resting in Jesus, really? Are you calling on his name? Are you releasing your faith in the word? Are you standing on the word and believing that, look, demon, you got to go. You've been evicted. You don't live here. Take your hands off my money. This is God's property. It's covered by the blood. See? Take your authority. Take your rightful place. Stand on the word. Believe what God's word says. See it. You say, well, I don't see it. I guarantee you. See, this is what you got to do. When you meditate on this word that you're meditating on it, you haven't got it until you got peace about it. You hear me? You haven't got it until you got peace about it. When you got peace about it, you're resting. If you don't have peace about this word that you've been looking at, there's no rest there. See, you want confirmation. You want breakthrough. You want breakthrough. Go to him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm meditating on that. I'm putting that not just today for Sunday morning service, but I'm putting that all day. Every opportunity so I can stay in a restful state of mind. So I can have a peace that passes all understanding that will keep my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. So I can see myself walking in that. And if you honor God's word will honor you. If you attend to the word will attend to you. The word will protect you. The word will provide for you. The word will give you breakthroughs. That's the battleground. That's where the battle is. I ain't got time for no battle, Pastor. You're in a battle whether you want to get out of the battle or not. But you win. You win now. Right now. That's what you got to see. Every time you speak in the word, I'm a winner. Stand up on your feet. Tell your neighbor, you're a winner. Can you see it? Do you believe it? Because that's who you are. I know you failed in the past, but Jesus won the battle for you. Your days of failing are over. Say, you're a winner. I was thinking, I mean, I ain't hit on half the stuff that I wanted to share, but I was thinking about this. You know, there are times when you don't feel like singing. You don't feel like praising the Lord. You just don't feel like it. You don't feel like talking to God. I know y'all ain't never felt that way, huh? But the Lord, you said that you should have a song that you can sing. I remember this song. It's a kiddish song. It's kind of like, it'll probably make you laugh. It's a kiddish song. And I remember this song when we was growing up. Val, you may have to help me with this song. Huh? I know Val know it. Huh?